Hello, welcome to the Galvanize and Restore podcast with your host, Jessica Concepcion. I am so excited to just be able to welcome you into this warm space. Get comfortable, grab some tea, coffee, whatever you're feeling in the mood for, maybe a chai latte from Starbucks or wherever your local shop is. Today's episode is going to be about my top favorite movie of the year, Sound of Freedom. In the last episode, I did already cover this topic, but I really wanted to go back to it because I felt like I left some things out, some of the more important details of the reality of the film that I thought were so crazy that I'm like, I have to talk about this. This is insane. And one of the things I really want to mention is that the movie has actually made about $104.6 million. It is named the 14th highest grossing film of this year. I know it's a big deal because no one has been expecting a movie about child trafficking to be in that category. And so it's really good. There hasn't been a lot of advertisement for the movie. It's really been a grassroots effort, just people by mouth just sharing with their friends, hey, you should go see this film. And then also the makers of the film created a little opportunity that you could purchase tickets for other people to go see, so that was really cool. So a lot of people actually got to go see the movie for free because someone else paid for them to go see it. The movie is not sometimes viewed as a priority, right? You don't really put movie lists on your top priority of the week. So knowing that there's a financial stress sometimes to going out and watching a film, the movie makers really wanted to make it easy for people to go see it. So they are like, hey, pass this movie along, or like pay it forward if you'd like to help someone else out. That just goes to show also the heart behind the film. They're not out here to just make money. They really just want people to go watch this film and to be able to see and be exposed to what's actually happening on Earth. And I say Earth because it's happening in every single country. And it's something that it's hard to wrap your head around at times because you can't just picture so much evil in the world that we live in. And we always kind of build for ourselves a life that shields us from harm, and which is 100% normal. Nobody wants to purposely get in trouble, whether that's, you know, kidnapped or any assaulted or any way robbed, or you know, nobody wants to put themselves in that way. And so the movie actually just helps to kind of show that these things are happening, and there's ways of coming alongside groups, nonprofits that are making a difference, and that we're not helpless. You know, there is a dark side to this topic because we're talking about children, we're talking about adults being trafficked, and no one really wants to talk about this. And I won't say no one, there are tons of people, but when I say no one, I just mainly mean in the general public. This is not a topic we bring up during a brunch or during a gathering, birthday gathering, or a celebration of any kind, because it's grimy, it's dark. But I want to encourage you that it's okay to bring up questions. It's okay to acknowledge that we don't have the answers, but that we can brainstorm and get involved, grow, and educate ourselves in order to see what are tangible things we can see do, so that we can see an outcome and a change. Even us getting involved, whether it's donating to a nonprofit that you found, like 821, IJM, International Justice Mission. Those are the two biggest ones that I know of, but definitely the movie is based off of the founder of Operation Underground Railroad, which is OUR, and that organization is really infiltrating trafficking rings around the world. They actually commented that OUR doesn't really sleep because they're located all around the world, so there's always an office that's open. Their efforts are really working with law enforcement and creating opportunities to capture the criminals, collect evidence, and do certain things that come alongside the police of whichever country they find themselves in. Their efforts are really so brilliant. It's insane. You know, you can go ahead and check out their podcast. A shout out to the Tim Ballard podcast. You can find it anywhere. And he's actually recently came out with a podcast in order to just shed some light on the movie Sound of Freedom, to give feedback about the organization, to just give people the opportunity to learn more. After seeing Sound of Freedom, your mind just kind of goes in a lot of different directions, especially if you have children. You might want to hug them a little closer. You might pray for someone who might, you know, you might start praying for your country. You might start praying for kids around the world. It might be something that lingers in your mind about what's happening out there. So I just want to say, hey, like, definitely go check out Tim Ballard's podcast. It's definitely very informative, and I learned a lot just listening to it. All right, so I want to talk about the movie. A quote I found online, it said, "Movies have profound influence on cultures and society, serving as a reflection of our values and beliefs, a catalyst for change, a source of inspiration, and a form of entertainment." I thought that was perfect. That was a perfect quote about why you should watch this movie. It is impactful. So one of the things the movie does kind of leave out is what can the average person do? So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next month of August. We're just going to dive into different efforts that are happening. Hopefully every single week I'll have a different aspect of what it looks like to be a part of anti-trafficking movement. Beyond just donating, you know, I think donating is huge. Definitely donate to these causes. As I said before, you can make a difference through that. But I want to talk about what other things can churches do in order to really demonstrate, hey, we're putting a foot on a stake in the ground, and we're saying no longer trafficking is allowed in our neighborhood or our community, our state, our country. So that's going to come up in August. I'm very excited about that. Hopefully I can get someone on the podcast who just can tell us what more opportunities there are surrounding this issue, so that our viewers are not left just wondering, okay, well, what can I do, you know? Because I feel like that's definitely a part of the movement too. We have to be able to be equipped and informed and educated in regards to the real issues and the problems that are happening all in regards to this, especially in America. I think the United States, we kind of cover our eyes and we're like, oh, it's happening somewhere else, but it's not. And the movie actually demonstrates that a little bit further. So I'm gonna go ahead and start chiming into the movie. So the first opening scene takes place outside the country, but after that it comes back to America, and the main actor, or sorry, the Tim Ballard, you basically see him arresting a pedophile, but not an ordinary pedophile. It was actually someone who was distributing child pornography, and it's very, very the takedown. They take him down at his house as he's in the middle of about to upload more child porn. They take him down and he's arrested. And the next glimpse is Tim Ballard having to review some of the video that he was uploading. So they use it as evidence. They have to, in real life, they have to actually go through all the filth that's happening, right? All the evidence of what this person did to this child. And so I think the way that they filmed it really demonstrated how impactful, and in a negative way, it is for those people, those agents in Homeland Security, when it comes to observing the deed and observing the video and what they have to be expose themselves to. And so that's, you know, the way they filmed it was really, really good, because it doesn't obviously show anything, but it gives you the way they filmed this. They put the viewer in the seat of Tim Ballard, right? They're just so good when it comes to making you just put yourself in that person's place, and the anger and the sadness and just all these things. And so with this, what happens after that is that Tim Ballard, he gets this idea, and this happened in real life. He talks about it. He gets this idea. I'm going to pretend to be a pedophile with this guy that we arrested in order for him to tell us more, and so that maybe he'll lead us to an actual child. So the way they filmed it, you kind of don't know what he's doing. You just assume that he's actually a bad guy at first, because the movie you just see him pretending to be a pedophile, and you're just like, what is going on? Like, I thought he was a good guy. But in real life, basically, this was an actual case, and Tim Ballard had arrested this pedophile, and he couldn't get him to crack. He couldn't get him to start talking at all, you know? And so during the investigation, he's like, oh my gosh, like, maybe I'll pretend to be a part of his little group or whatever, and then that way, if I get him to trust me, then he'll give me more information. And that's basically what happened. And the movie leads on to the rescue of a child who was actually being brought across the US border from Mexico. And this child was this little boy. And that was that leads to one of my favorite scenes in the movie, when he was rescued, and the beautiful tenderness that they do in just showing that this little kid was so terrified and so unaware that there's people actually looking for him. He was just so trapped in the black darkness of the reality of having been sex trafficked, and he just didn't even identify anymore by his real name. So in the film, there's a scene where the little boy's in the car and Tim Ballard opens the door and is greeting him, and he's like, hey, tell me your name. And the little kid's like, I'm Cute Teddy Bear, or something like that, some nickname that the sex traffickers had given him so he could share that with the clients that he was serving. And so Tim Ballard was like, no, what's your real name? And then he said, I think it was Mateo. And he was just so broken. And that scene was just so emotional. And the next scene, they're eating at like kind of like a burger place in America now. And so they're just having this beautiful interaction between Tim Ballard and the kid. And there's a moment where they're talking and Tim introduces himself and he's like, oh, I'm Tim, by the way. And the kid looks at him and he's like, Tim? And he takes out a necklace, and his necklace has the name Timothy on it because it had a Bible verse on it. So it had Timothy, and he was like, you're on my necklace kind of thing. And he's like, do you rescue kids? He's like, you rescue kids, right? But in Spanish. And then Timothy was like, what? And then he was, the little boy was like, can you rescue my sister? Can you find my sister? And then that's when Tim realizes, oh my gosh, it's not just him. His little sister was trafficked too. And you just see this horrible realization come upon his face, Tim Ballard's face. And he's like, where is your sister? In Spanish, his broken Spanish. And then, you know, the movie shifts to basically like a scene that happened before about how his sister was separated from him. And it was just very, very emotional. And but I love this tenderness of this scene, because what would you do if you were face to face with a little kid that had just been rescued? It's like, you just want to hug this kid. You just want to like cry probably. But you know, this is such a sensitive matter. You have to be able to bond with them so that not only you create this new relationship where the child can trust, you know, whether it's law enforcement or a aftercare provider in a home, wherever that person, the victim is found. I'm talking about in real life, not just in the movie, but there's a trust that has to be built with these survivors. And that trust is so sensitive. You know, they've come from this very, very traumatizing experience where the people, the adults in their life have abused them, taken advantage of them. And not only that, but they've sold them and their bodies to other people. And they're just, I can't imagine how much emotion and thoughts go into the mind of a child when they're being abused in this way. And this is why the movie kind of takes you on a tailspin, because when you're watching it, you just can't believe that this is really happening. And I know for me, halfway through it, I was like, this can't be real. You know, like, you see the movie and you're just like, this can't be real. You're just so helpless in a way, because you're just like, how can we rescue these people, you know? And just to bring in some statistics, if you haven't already heard, but 1 in every 4 victims of trafficking is a child. So they estimate about 2 million children a year are trafficked into this, human trafficking. And that can include labor trafficking or sex trafficking. This movie really emphasizes the sex trafficking, but there is a scene near the end of the movie where this little boy's sister is actually had been sold to someone. And she was actually shown working among like other children and stuff. So they were actually like put to work. So these little young children are put to work as well. And so back to the scene where they encounter that. So the little boy ends up giving Timothy his necklace. And that's actually something that really did happen. It's something that is so beautiful. And it really does have his name on it. It's crazy. And it's just one of those God moments where you're just like, wow, I was meant to rescue this child. And that, I think, sets the precedent for like the rest of the film, of just the emotions, the connection between Tim and the kid and his family. And then there's a part of the film where the kid's reunited to his father in the airport. And this scene made me think about all the things that in real life you don't notice around you. So like, normally when we're going to the airport, all we're thinking about is, I want to make sure I don't miss my flight. I want to make sure my flight is still on time. Do I have everything I need? Maybe I'll buy a souvenir. Maybe I'm hungry. Let me go to a little bakery, or let me get an Italian sub. You know, all the things. We're always just me, 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 me. And the movie scene, it's the guy reuniting with his son in the airport after having his son taken from him for about an estimation of like 3 months. And they're hugging, and they're hugging very, very tightly. And it was just such an emotional part of the film, but it really did make me think about the things on a normal basis that we miss, because we don't know those people, right? If you see someone intensely hugging, you have no idea their story. But it's crazy to think about that happening around us, and we have no idea that it could be happening. So insane. I don't know why I brought it up. I think it's just one of those things, you know, we go through life so much not really thinking about others, and it's really, you know, life-changing when we turn that around and open ourselves up to the lives of others and think about other people. Brandon Heath actually has a song, a really old song, that talks about this, and he says, "Give me your eyes so I can see the things I'm missing." And he talks about give me your eyes for the brokenhearted, give me your eyes. And the movie actually, I mean, sorry, the YouTube video, Give Me Your Eyes by Brandon Heath, also has a part that's in the airport, I think. So it was really interesting. I guess it ties to the film a bit. But it's just so important to have eyes that are open and willing to see what's around us. But that was like a really touching part of the movie. And the next part of the movie just goes crazy. So Tim actually ends up flying to Colombia to basically rescue his sister, because he finds out that she was potentially sold to a trafficker in Colombia, which means she either was resold elsewhere. You know, most children can be sold anywhere around the world when they go into the black market. So there's an actual part of the scene where it says, hey, Timothy's in Colombia and he's in Cartagena, and he's talking to this potential partner that's going to be helping him rescue the little kid's sister. And basically the guy's like, hey, this little girl could be 2 blocks away. She could be in Moscow, she could be in Tokyo, she could be in California. We have no idea where she is. And so that just sets the precedent, like, that's the reality of the situation when a child is trafficked. If the rescue doesn't happen soon, you don't know where this child might end up, and she might be lost forever. And the trailer of the movie actually shows that part too, where it's like, if we don't rescue her now, what's gonna happen to her? So that was insane. The Cartagena scenes, I really enjoyed it because it shows the process. It's not really in and out, okay, everything's clean. There's a process to the rescues. There's a process. There's a build-up. There's plans. There's ideas that have to come together in order for them to be able to rescue people. And the craziest thing is that in real life, they actually ended up rescuing over 100 kids from Cartagena, Colombia. And that was insane. In the movie, they only show one of the operations that they did, but they were doing multiple operations. And that operation that's shown, it's about 50 kids, 54 kids that are rescued because of a plan that they can come up with. And so I bring that up to say that our ideas matter. Collaboration matters, and that's why it's so important to talk about the issue of trafficking, because you might come up with an idea that changes the game. You know, you might be like, hey, what if we did this or tried this? And you know, collaboration gets things moving along so that there can be solutions. I think in a lot of industries, things get stagnant because there's no fresh ideas. And I think when it comes to human trafficking, there has to be, because this is an industry or business, illegal business, that is rising. You know, they say it's rising above the gun trade, and it's past the drug trade, I believe. And so with that being said, it's one of the top criminal industries in the world. It's insane. And so in order to take it down, a lot of people have to be involved. So the movie really illustrates that partnership. And I believe the partnership, it was between the U.S. government, Colombia, local police, and a street trafficker, or one of their partners was this guy who would rescue kids from traffickers and give them a new life. And so the movie really goes into that. It was really an amazing, that actor, he's hilarious, but he plays a phenomenal job in the film, and just getting you to see that heroes kind of come in all shapes. It doesn't matter where you are particularly, but you can be a part of it. You don't have to be perfect, you don't have to be a saint to be a part of the human trafficking, anti-trafficking movement. So I love that part of the film. I love that he's a little bit grimy, he's a little bit interesting character, kind of like someone that you're like, okay, like, you don't seem like the typical guy that would want to help do a good thing. And that just goes to show, like, you can't judge a book by its cover. You have to really give people chances in their problem solving or being a part of the solution. But this grimy guy, he also proved himself valuable. So he already had a reputation of helping kids get out of trafficking, and that's why they had him at the table. So that was pretty interesting. And his story is actually based off of real life. They released, OUR released a video with him where his face is covered, and he shares a story of how he got started. Originally he was with the cartel doing some money laundering for them, and then he went to prison, I believe, and then when he got out, you know, down the road, God changed his life, and then he was working in a foster care home, and then he found out about children being trafficked and all these things, and so he started helping in that. So that was a really interesting part of the film, this character that's based off of real life, and the activities he did is also based off of real life. There's some aspects of the film that are different, and you can find that out when you watch their video that they made over on their YouTube channel, OUR. Check it out. And then the last thing I want to say about the film is that they had an incredible way of rescuing the girl. And even though this part of the film has its own elaboration, because in real life, Tim Ballard never killed anybody, but in the film, it shows him kind of choking someone out and, you know, ending his life. And that didn't happen in real life. He hasn't killed anybody, but I love the ending of the film where the girl is reunited with her father. That, and she's just grabbing his face. It was the most touching moment ever. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot. Listen, if you don't cry in this film, I don't know what you have to watch. Maybe you need some, like, coffee makes me emotional, so maybe drink some coffee where you go watch it. But this film is something that is really, really touching, and not because of, not because it's fake, or it's, you know, the reality of it is that what's moving about this film is that there's people on the grounds risking their life for these children, and that is what's really moving. They're these children that they don't even know, they've never met before, but it makes you think, what would you do in that position? Would you put your life on the line to rescue someone else's child if you knew that there's a potential of failure? What would you do? And I'm going to leave you with that. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I think it's, I still need to talk even more about the film, right? It never ends. But to be honest, there's nothing like just going and watching it yourself, getting that feedback. I just wanted to go over some of the moments that I thought were very special, some aspects of the film that really stand out, and how crafted it was, how neat it was that they crafted the film in a way that really brings a lot of awareness to different aspects of trafficking. All right, so I hope you have a great rest of your day, and God bless.